You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor. I am DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you, sir?
Man, I am doing well. It's hump day. It's I get to hang out with you. I cannot complain. And it's a sunny day in Oregon, in Portland, so I cannot complain.
That's where I was going to go. This weather is amazing right now.
Yep.
It's winter in other places still. Back home, 8 inches of snow on the East Coast.
Damn.
Yeah. we're doing just fine.
We're doing just fine.
I'm already getting text invites for back patio socials. So, yeah, things are going pretty good.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good. I've been doing a much better job just getting some rest and pacing myself. Shorter work days. Switching up my work environment, too. So remembering the relationship between stress and your immune system and things like that. And, you know, trying to find more relaxed environments to work in. Like, the office is great. But in order for me to be productive, and I hope this is a little tip for some of our listeners, you got to change your work environment. So maybe a couple of days working from home, maybe a couple of days working from a coffee shop, maybe a couple of days working from a friend's house. And that's what my week has been. I worked this morning from a coffee shop, Black-owned coffee shop. And then yesterday I was over a friend's house that has tons of space, like wide open space, so much space. And I was working out of there for a little bit. So, yeah, this has been a much more creative work week for me.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah. It's been good.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, right? When in March of 2020, when things shut down and, you know, the Stay Home, Save Lives campaign and a lot of people were able to stay at home or work remotely. But we forget that there is a whole bunch of folks in the service industry, right, who couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And if you looked at the Google mobility data, it showed us that the people who were catching coronavirus and getting sick from COVID-19 and even dying from COVID-19, right, back in those days, it was mostly Black and brown folks who were working in the service industry who couldn't work at home. So I'm always very cognizant of the fact that not everybody can work from home, and even our frontline folks, right, they couldn't work from home either, because if you're working in the hospital, you gotta be seeing the patients, right? You gotta be touching the patients. It's a luxury for some of us, for you and I, to have the option of today I'm gonna work from home, or you know, I'm gonna work from a coffee shop. You name it, right?
That's true. Man, imagine having some of the information that we have now about, you know, how the virus spreads and what type of habits are the best, you know, best safety precautions to run with back then. Because honestly, you're right. There were people that could not work remotely, and, you know, people in the service industry. Imagine if we were able to allocate and prioritize them with PPE resources. You know what I'm saying?
Vaccines, like, at the beginning of vaccine rollout, right?
If they were the first ones in line, the people that cannot work remotely, if we make sure they got vaccinated first, we make sure they had KN95s first, because they didn't have a choice, you know?
Yeah.
And those of us that were able to, you know, work remotely, hey, just stay in the house. We know it's uncomfortable. We know you're tired. I'm sure you got cabin fever, but it's cabin fever is less contagious than COVID. And, and it has far less symptoms and implications, you know, than having COVID. So, yeah.
Yeah. Man, so I just had I just had a I started off my day with a phone call from my partners in Multnomah County, who were telling me about Dr. Divneet Kerr told me about a patient of mine that that I took care of when I was in Multnomah County, and he passed away last night from COVID-19. When I first met this gentleman, he had told me about how he had just been diagnosed with cancer and was going through chemo, and he didn't believe in, he didn't buy into COVID-19, right? He thought it was a hoax, and he didn't believe in the vaccines. And this would have been, so I first met him, I think it was, this would have been in December of 2020. Okay. So, you know, I start talking to him. I'm seeing him every 2 weeks because his cancer is still active. And, you know, I talk to him every 2 weeks, just telling him that, hey, dude, when the vaccines come out, when you're eligible for vaccines, you should be the first one in line to get vaccinated because of your new diagnosis of cancer. And anyway, he was very resistant. But after about 2-3 months, he had changed his tune. He was now, you know, preaching vaccines to anybody and everybody. He convinced his sister. He convinced his parents and his partner and a few other people around him to get vaccinated. He became a massive champion for the vaccines. So,
what was his initial hesitation?
He just misinformation and disinformation that he had seen online and that he had heard over and over again, and you know, the same things that we've talked about. He brought up, I remember the first time, it was like, man, when has the federal government ever given anything to Black folks for free, right? That's the first thing he said to me. And then when I answered that question, when I thought I'd satisfied him, he goes, son, you ever heard of Tuskegee?
Yes. Yes. As a Black doctor, I have yes. indeed heard.
So we spent another two visits. You know, at the end of each visit, we'll talk about whatever it is that he wanted to talk about regarding the vaccines. But it was beautiful to see this his evolution in the process and how he became a champion for the vaccine. So, a shout out to him. Rest in peace, my friend.
Yeah. Shout out to his family as well.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing story. That really, really is. And glad to see that he was able to convince, you know, those in his network and his circle to go ahead and get vaccinated. And that's, you know, that's always going to be the conversation, no matter what variant comes out and what steps we have to take and, you know, what changes and adjustments we got to make. We just have to keep carrying this conversation on with people that are close to us, you know. Start there and give them as much information as possible. So we can move past this.
And those one-on-one conversations, right, are incredibly powerful, right? It was him that convinced his parents to get vaccinated. And to have that, it shows how much we have, how much influence we have over each other.
Absolutely.
Normalizing this conversation, normalizing getting vaccinated, or, you know, talking about your vaccine status, your testing status really makes a difference.
Yeah. I'm curious as to, you know, what the prolonged effect, the long-term effect of this is going to be, just with us being more free to have those conversations. I mean, within the black community, there are a lot of things that we struggle with as far as health that we don't have conversations around, whether it's cancer, making sure, you know, we are going to get checkups, diabetes, cholesterol. There's a myriad of things that if we felt more comfortable having conversations with each other around these issues, we could be in a different place by now.
Man, there is so much that we can do to help each other. Just simple conversations about, you know, oh, you know, I'm really having a hard time sleeping. And, you know, what's worked for you? What's, you know, when I sleep, I become apneic. You know, have you ever heard of, you know, sleep apnea? Have you, you know, things like that, very simple things. Oh, by the way, hey, my man, did you get your flu shot? You know, the simple stuff like that.
Right. Did you get your flu shot? Did you go for your sleep test?
Sleep test.
Very simple things.
looking out for each other, right?
And yeah, I mean, this is the situation now because these viruses that we're dealing with are so contagious. Looking out for each other means looking out for ourselves.
That's true, so. Right? That's true. Yeah.
But maybe you didn't care about your family member's cholesterol because their cholesterol couldn't affect you. This is a lot different.
Yeah. It's, what is it called? The principle of double effect, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this episode, we're talking about testing. The tests have been delivered. I believe the government is still in the process of getting tests out because people are still, you know, applying for them. We did receive our tests. It was two packs.
Uh-huh.
Of the 15-minute result tests. We got those in last week. So I think we're still trying to, you know, acquire additional tests just so we have them. If they're available online, you know, we're just trying to have them. What are the different types of COVID tests that are out there at the moment that you're aware of?
So there are three main types of tests that are out there. The first one that you're talking about, and which is by far the most commonly used right now, is it's called the antigen test. It's a rapid antigen test. It detects proteins in the virus that we shed whenever we're infected with the virus. Those are very effective, especially when we are using, especially when you are symptomatic with COVID-19. So they work really, really well in symptomatic people. Then the second type is the PCR, the polymerase chain reaction. It amplifies DNA material that's in the virus. So it's very, very, very sensitive. And we can pick up infections. We can pick up genetic material from the from SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes the COVID-19. And so, because they're so sensitive, right? They continue to be positive even after the infectious period is long gone. That's why we say that. Don't do a PCR. If you get a positive test, don't do a PCR test for another 90 days or so.
Right.
Then the last one is it's an antibody test. Not recommended. This just looks to see if your body has developed antibodies, and so to the coronavirus. So if you are vaccinated, it'll be, you know, the antibody test will be positive. If you had COVID-19, the antibody test will be positive. And it really says absolutely nothing about the functioning of those antibodies. It says absolutely nothing about the status of those antibodies. So Do not go out there and asking your doctor to get an antibody test. It is not useful. It's used for studies when people are doing certain that when you're enrolled in clinical trials, but for the most part, some clinical trials look at antibody levels, but the vast majority don't. But do not go out to your doctor or your provider and ask for an antibody test.
Thanks for clearing that up, because I do remember those were the tests everyone was trying to get access to early on before the vaccine was available. It's like, I got to get my hands on the antibody test. Got to get my hands on the antibody test. Okay.
Yeah, no need to do that. No need to do that.
Is it possible? And what can cause, first off, is it possible to get a false positive on a viral test? And what are some of the things that can, you know, lead to that? I know we covered a little bit last week.
Yeah. So that's a good question, right? So false positives are, they occur in just about every test that we do. It is possible to get a false positive. So it just means that you actually don't have the virus. And for whatever reason, your test comes back as positive. In this particular case, it's not such a big deal, because it is quite possible that that you were exposed at some point. Mm-hmm. The main thing is you just treat it as a positive and make sure that you isolate if you you isolate and for the 5 days that's required. The main thing is that PCR tests rarely ever show false positives, right? Because what they're doing is they're amplifying DNA that's present. So the only way they can come back as a false positive is if there's a contamination in the amplification process. But for the most part, they typically don't result in false positives. We talked a little about the antigen tests. Yes, those, because we do so many of them, there are going to be a few false positives out there. Again, they're not as accurate as PCRs, but they're still very, very good, especially in people that are symptomatic.
Okay. What are some of the aspects to consider in self-testing? You did talk about, you know, contamination and just making sure, you know, we're following the directions, I'm sure. What are some of the other aspects to consider in self-testing?
Oh, man. You know, I wish what's her name? Miss Lewis were here, because she had a good primer on that last week, right?
Yeah.
She talked about, you know, you got to take it out and make sure you don't touch the swab, the cotton swab, put it in your nose and put it in the amount, you know, the length should be, you should put it in far enough in your nose that
right,
not just at the anterior portion of the nose. And make sure you keep it in there for the 10 to 15 seconds that they recommend. Because if you just do it for 5 seconds, it may not pick up sufficient viral material to be a useful test. Make sure, you know, you put it in. Make sure you work it the way it's supposed to be worked, right? It says leave it, you know, once you put the solution on there, leave it there for 15 minutes.
Right.
Just because it hasn't turned positive in 3 minutes doesn't mean that it's not going to turn positive at 14 minutes, right? Do the whole 15 minutes and make sure that you're paying attention to the test. The other thing that we neglected to talk about, right? You can report your test. There's a website where you can report your test. Once it comes back positive, or even if it's negative, you can still report it. But let me see. I don't recall. What's the name of the website? We'll get it. We'll get it on the website and
we'll get it in we'll share description.
Share it with everybody. Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah. For Oregon, it's called oregon.gov/positive COVID test.
Okay.
Yeah. So oregon.gov/positive COVID test. You can report that. And that ensures that you're counted as a positive case. And if you were to need a doctor's note, you get it because you've reported it. If you were to need, you know, wraparound services, you know, things like rent assistance or food assistance or, you know, assistance with whatever it is, because you've reported the positive test, those things become available to you.
And that's important, right? We talked about the effect of the reporting and the data. Now that everyone has access. The great percentage that has access to at-home tests.
Yeah.
And how that data isn't being tracked. So, you know, getting that information out there and letting people know, if you're taking tests, please report the data, report the information, whether you're testing positive or negative, because that will greatly affect the changes that your city and state are going to make responding to the virus.
And the way we talk about, you know, the state of the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. I saw a study by, I think, who was it? Was it Johns Hopkins or was it University of Washington? I don't recall, but this was some time last week. They were saying that their estimates are that 80% of the population in the U.S. has been infected or has gotten vaccinated. 80%, especially during this last surge with the Omicron variant. So that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so what are some of the things to look out for and giving your information to a testing site, a COVID testing site. There have been a rash of fake COVID sites. So what are the things that people should be looking out for?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I'm sure we've all read these stories about folks that, you know, were scammed into giving their information. So, you know, if someone is asking you your immigration status, you know very well and not, it's not a legit testing site. If someone is asking you about your nationality, if someone is asking you for your mother's maiden name, your social security number, do not furnish that to them, right? And if they're not, you know, practicing good privacy policies or not, you know, not asking for too much personal data, you know, just say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. Step away and go somewhere else and make sure that your information is protected.
Yeah. And yeah. So one of the other important things to look out for is the staff at this site wearing protective gear? Are they wearing?
Yeah.
Are they properly protecting themselves? No. It's funny, the list you just ran down, you know, social security number, immigration status, your mother's maiden name. This is all information you would you'll be very cautious about, because you're like, this is someone trying to establish a line of credit. Like, you know, they're trying to get access, to my credit and you know, my identity. But you don't think about that when you're in these situations and you're dealing with, you know, what's supposed to be a health professional.
Yeah. So another thing to think about, right, is no one is going to call you and say, oh, yeah, you need to come in to get tested. And by the way, can you give me all this information before you come in?
Right.
You know that something is wrong when that is happening. Or emails that come in and say, oh, yeah, click on this website to put on your information.
Yeah.
Do not do that. Absolutely. Yeah. Do not avoid that like the plague.
Dr. Evans, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Sorry. I just get a chance to join. So good to see everyone here. Hope everyone's doing well.
Yes.
Oh, man. Chris, it's good to see you.
You too, my friend.
We were just talking about things to look out for at fake COVID testing sites. You know, some red flags, people asking for your social security number, immigration status, things of that nature. It is a shame. It really, really is a shame that, you know, while we're in a pandemic and the whole entire planet is going through something, you have people out there that are trying to scam, whether that's, you know, fake vaccine cards or fake testing sites. It's a shame. It really is a shame. Yeah.
Also hope everyone listening, and if you guys mentioned it, have gone ahead and ordered their home kits. So hopefully that's, because I know that's one thing everyone, at least we know the federal government will give you a certain amount of kits. And I guess in a few, I think we should be able to get our insurances to pay for kits after a certain date. I think that's also there. So
nice. I'm interested.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I'm interested as to why they wouldn't send out KN95 masks as well, you know, with the kits.
You know, you bring up something very important. There's, there was an MMWR that came out last week on the 4th that showed the differences between masks.
Okay.
And my God, N95 masks, KN95 masks are way better than anything else out there. So much so that we should all be wearing KN95s. We should all be wearing, you know, N95s when we go about our business, because it's they're that much more protective than all the other masks. And of course, at the bottom of that is face cloth masks, right? those were not good at all.
I'd probably say at the bottom of that are face shields. Those are not masks.
So I'm glad you guys brought that up.
Shields, I'm like, that's not going to protect you against anything. So.
I literally thought, should I be wearing a mask, a face shield. When I see people with the face shields, I'm like, okay, they're taking this seriously. So here I am hearing this directly from you guys. No good. The face shields are no good.
I mean, if you wear a face shield with a mask, that's okay because you're also protecting your mucous membranes. But I've also seen people wearing no masks, so you can see their mouth and nose. Right. And the only thing they have is a face shield. I was like, that's not protecting anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I feel like, man, I wish we knew this earlier. I should have asked you that question 6 or 8 months ago. It would have affected the sales of face shields. But, yeah, okay. So a good place for people to go to get legitimate COVID testing site locations is healthoregon.gov/COVID-19 testing. All right, it's healthoregon.gov/COVID-19 testing. That information will be in the description for the episode. Say, at what point should someone take their at-home COVID test? So they're at home, they've already received the test, they get a little cough, you know, back of the throat feels a little scratchy. Should they be rushing to take a test?
You know, so I think we've kind of touched on this previously, and you know, it's getting tested is always a good idea when you have symptoms. I've answered that question for a few family friends who just call me up and say, "Dude, I have a scratchy throat, and you know, I've been out in the public. Just want to make sure, like, hey, you have symptoms. Get tested." Okay. Some of them, actually most of them in the last 3-4 months have come back positive. So it was a good idea that they tested, which then led them to protect themselves and protect others by isolating. So if you have any symptoms at all that are abnormal, that you think that you know are out of the ordinary, because some people are asymptomatic, some people have very, very mild symptoms, like, you know, feeling fatigued or the scratchy throat that you talked about, or a cough, but nothing really big, get tested. And especially now that home tests are abundant and they're free, get tested.
I completely agree. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that I always move forward in the space that even if your first test is negative, you know, test again. Usually we say wait a couple of days and test, because I've had folks who's like, oh, you know, my husband has COVID, I have a cough and a fever, but my COVID test was negative. I was like, you got COVID. And so I think that, you know, the tests sometimes they're not 100% perfect, and they are going to miss people who are truly positive. You know, the home tests that we have are the antigen tests, which I think will look very different than when you go to the doctor's office, or you go to these mass testing sites, which is a PCR. The PCR is the most sensitive, but the antigen test is more likely to be positive when you have the most amount of virus in your respiratory system. And the thing about the PCR test, which I think always makes people a little bit nervous, is that people can be PCR positive for a very, very, very long time, even though they're no longer infectious. So sometimes just finding the PCR there many months after or many weeks after you've recovered doesn't always mean that person can spread virus that's able to replicate. But I think if you're symptomatic and you have symptoms and you test positive, PCR antigen, stay home.
Yep. You know, thank you very much for bringing up something that we hadn't touched on, which is, we've talked a lot about false positives, but you can also have a false negative, which is what you brought up. And that's actually a very good point, that it is quite possible to have a false negative, and it doesn't mean that you're not infected.
Yeah, I know, I've been dealing with mild symptoms off and on since, you know, I want to say what pandemic started, was it now like what, March 2020? Right. I started getting symptoms back in November of 2019. And so it's always been like something, whether it's, you know, cough or post nasal drip, there's always been something happening. So I can understand someone being like, okay, I have a scratchy throat. but I'm always having something going on. Am I going to waste the test now? It's like, okay, all right. It's just another day of the week. But no, it's important. It is important that we test. And you know, if we're dealing with symptoms, like you said, test again. You have something. You have something. Even if you don't have COVID, you have something. So like, don't spread that.
So I know that DJ Ambush, I know that you've had your flu shot. So just know it because that's what we do. And so we do have flu circulating out there.
So what I'm going to do.
Respiratory virus. So you could also have the flu.
So what I'm going to do is something that members of our society often do. We lie to our doctors. we lie to our doctors all the time. They tell us to go home and do something. And it's like, you come back for your checkup. It's like, yeah, I've done that. I haven't yet. Okay. All right. I hope that brings us a little bit closer to our listeners. I too, listeners, I'm still cutting up. All right.
Killing me, my man.
Yeah, you would think the two times I've caught in the flu or a cold since Thanksgiving would be enough, right? I don't know what this experiment is that I'm running. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm working on it. Please have patience with me. So final question. What has happened if a self-test results in either an invalid or an error?
So it's quite possible, right? Whenever we test ourselves that, you know, you haven't collected enough specimen or you didn't do the test correctly. This takes me back, like I was saying earlier, to what Ms. Lewis was saying last week about making sure that you follow the directions as they are laid out, because the directions are put on there for a reason.
Right.
And if you don't follow those directions, you may get a false negative, you may get a false positive, or you may get an invalid test or an error. So just make sure that when that happens, get another test and follow the instructions, and hopefully that one will give you a more valid answer.
Excellent. So we do have some upcoming vaccine events. February 12th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., the Rosewood Initiative. Tuesday, February 15th, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Lloyd Center, and then again Thursday, February 17th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Lloyd Center. So this information will be in the description for the episode. And again, you know, thank you guys for listening. Please, please, please spread the word. Forward these episodes to as many people as possible. If you have questions for us, you can go to numbers.fm and pose a question there for the doctors that are participating. And we will see you all again next week. Thanks so much, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.